we'll read both the verses and we'll come back to 37. Sutu Vacha,
Sutu Vacha,
Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan,
Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan,
Narada Vasavi Sutam,
Narada Vasavi Sutam,
Amantya Vinam Ramayam,
Amantya Vinam Ramayam,
Yaya Yadrichiko Muni,
Yaya Yadrichiko Muni,
Sutta.
Sutta
Goswami.
Sutta Goswami.
Oh, you should chant first the verses.
Go ahead. Goswami. Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan.
Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan.
Narada Vasavi Sutam.
Narada Vasavi Sutam.
Amantya Vina.
Sutta Goswami said. Thus addressing
Vyasadeva,
Srila Narada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, every living being is anxious for full freedom, because that is his transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. Illusion by the external energy. Everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he is bound up by the laws of nature. Conditioned soul cannot freely move from one place to another, even on this earth. And what to speak of one planet to another. But a full-fledged free soul like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as in any part of the spiritual sky. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. There's no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it or may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, Freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. In text 38, you can just read it together, and then I'll read the translation of the purport. Aho
devashi kanyoyam yakitim sangadam dama gayam nadyani dhamkam kya ramaya kyaturam jagat.
Aho, all glory, to Devashi, the sage of the gods, Danya, all success. Ayam yat, one who, kirtan, glories, sangha dandana, of the personnel of Godhead, gayan, singing, majan, taking pleasure, idam, this, tantya, by means of the instrument, ramayati, enlivens, aturam, distressed, aturam, distressed, jagat, world. Translation, all glory and success to Srila Narayana, because he glorifies the activities of the personnel of Godhead. In so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls in the universe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Narayana plays on his instrument to glorify the transcendental activities of the Lord and to give relief to all miserable living entities of the universe. No one is happy here within the universe. What is felt as happiness is Maya's illusion. The illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even a hog who lives on a filthy stool feels happy. No one can be truly happy within the material world. Srila Narada Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of all genuine devotees of the Lord, following the footsteps of the great sage. So I really wanted to explore this idea of freedom that Prabhupada is really emphasizing, how all living entities, they desire to be free, everyone. I looked up the definition of freedom, and it says the power to act, speak, think as one wants without any hindrance or restraint. Also the absence of any subjugation to foreign domination or despotic government. Also the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. And then I went and I looked at what the definition of freedom according to, you know, some famous philosophers like Socrates. Socrates really believed in freedom as being part of a whole, that creating the ideal city with the ideal people, that would actually lead to freedom. But he also believed that in order to attain that, it was important to limit freedom of speech and all the different freedoms that people take for granted. He thought that people should be more guided. And his disciple Plato also, along that line, also believed that the state was important. And he also expressed the idea that too much freedom actually caused enslavement, that people had fragile minds, and unless they were guided properly, that it would not lead to freedom, that it would lead to more enslavement. So, and then also his disciple Aristotle, he was a little more liberal. He believed that people had the capacity to guide their own actions. So anyway, I was just reading this and then trying to compare this idea. Now Thomas Aquinas, a saint, he believed in spiritual freedom, that intellectual beings would seek the universal goodness, and that this universal goodness is God. So, you know, the divine was intertwined in all of these definitions, but Srila Prabhupada, he really defines it, because he asks, you know, what is the question of freedom in our situation? When we have Janma Mrityu Vyadhi, we have all these things. He says, okay, well, nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die, but you have to die. So what's the freedom involved in that? Nobody wants to get sick, but everybody gets sick at some time or another. So what is the freedom that's involved? So nobody really wants to go through the painful process of birth, but death also, that we're forced to. So all of these Jamamitri-Vyadhi Jara, we're forced to undergo these different situations. So we have to understand that as living entities, that we're really not free. We're also bound by Adiyatma and Adivaudic and Adivaudic. We're bound by the miseries that attack, you know, the mind and the body. So how to become free from that? Those are always going on. And Adivaudic, the miseries that are inflicted upon us from other living entities. So everyone experiences some insults and some unfairness and all of this. So what is the question of freedom? You know, people are always questioning and adi-daivik, you know, the natural disturbances that occur. It's like this whole COVID-19. What is the freedom involved? You know, we can't even walk around without a mask. You have to have a mask on. Otherwise, you know, adi-bhavik comes into play. You're disturbed by other living entities. And just, you know, adi-daivik, hurricanes, just like the there's another cyclone headed for India, and we're hearing about in Florida, it's going to be a very active hurricane season. So what is the question of freedom? So Srila Prabhupada, first of all, he calls our regulated principles the regulated principles of freedom. He actually calls these principles of no intoxication, you know, no illicit sex, all these principles. He says that you don't even come to human life if you're not following these regulated principles of freedom, that gives us a certain amount of freedom because we're not enslaved by our senses. The only person who's not enslaved by their senses is Rishikesh, who's master of the senses, and we are all servants of our senses until we become connected with Rishikesh. We should become connected with the master of the senses. So these modes of material nature, Mamat Yogacharyam Bhakti Yogena Sevta Sadhunam Samatita Itam Brahma Guya Kalpateva. One who is transcendently situated, that once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So that word guna comes from guna, which means rope. So basically, we're tied to these gunas, we're tied to these modes of material nature. You know, the mode of ignorance, when people are overcome by sleep and by intoxication, they are in the mode of tamas, in the mode of goodness. When people are overcome by rajas, that's desire, very passionate, and desire for a lot of ambition, fruit of activity, wanting to make money, wanting to become famous, wanting so much results of their activities, and also the mode of goodness, although quite a step above from tamas and rajas, it can still be an entrapment, but characterized by, you know, eating foods in the mode of goodness, you know, vegetarian foods, and also, activities that are beneficial to themselves and to other people. Of course, above that is the mode of shivasattva, and that's the mode that devotees aspire for. We're above the three modes, and everything that you do is according to Krishna's will. And in that case, there's full surrender, and we're just trying to please Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this idea of becoming completely surrendered to Krishna, this is what we are aspiring for, and this is actually total freedom, and how to get this freedom. Number one, because it explains that the bound cannot help the bound. Once when I was in Mayapur last year, I was giving a Bhakti Shastri class to a group of women, and we took different ideas, and the students acted them out. So this is one of them. The bound cannot help the bound. So it's really quite well done, you know. We were laughing so hard because one of the ladies was on the floor with her hands behind her back and her legs pulled up. And another woman also got on the floor with her hands behind her back and her legs tucked up, but she kind of rolled and scooted over to try to help the other one, but obviously she was unable to because she was completely bound. So it wasn't until the devotee as a spiritual master came and was able to untie them that they were free. So Prabhupada stresses it that it's the guru, it's a spiritual master who's able to come and give the mercy and to give us that opportunity to become completely free, because otherwise, what is the question of any freedom? So this is our Narada Muni, who's completely free. He had to work for it. We're coming to the end of the chapter, and we all know the story of how Narada Muni, he completely meditated on the Lord, and such a small child, but such sincere and such focused meditation that Krishna appeared to him. Of course, a short time later, he was in total bliss, his hair standing on end, and he felt complete. Actually, there's a beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita. Let me just read that quickly. It says, in the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So Narada Muni was briefly able to experience this samadhi, this joyous state. But then Krishna disappeared, and so he was distraught. And he went to go perform the same process again. Okay, I'm just going to do this again. I'm just going to do this again. And he explained that, again, Krishna's not bound by any process or activity, that the only way that Krishna can be captured is by pure love. As soon as we're thinking, I am the Lord of all that I survey, Prabhupada explains it, as soon as we're thinking like that, immediately we're suffering. Immediately you suffer. But then as soon as you think, I am the servant, I am Krishna's servant, then immediately we'll be relieved. So anytime we're feeling anxiety, and certainly these days there's a lot to be in anxiety about. The future is uncertain, the present is uncertain, and fortunately for us, we know exactly what to do. That if we forget, we can remember this very simple process. As soon as we're thinking we're the controllers, which is easy to do, that puts us in anxiety. As soon as we understand that Krishna's the controller and that our business is to serve him, then immediately our anxiety can dissipate and we can go on with our mission, which is to serve. And of course, just like Narada Muni, we want to be able to spread this Krishna consciousness, to share this Krishna consciousness. And today is Thursday, so tomorrow Harinam will be going out again with social distancing, with devotees being able to spread this Harinam. They don't have a Veena, but they've got kartals and Mridanga, and they're able to spread this holy name. And as we heard recently in a quote from a Lakshmi Srila Prabhupada gave, that the sound vibration travels around the world 7 times. And of course, that's not just Harinam. That means that we're chanting our japa. And and this is creating a different atmosphere. This is the only way that really we can turn back the tide of Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada did say that we could. And we've seen all the progress that has happened because of Harinam and because of chanting. So the more that we can chant devotion, just really trying to attain that state of really hearing Krishna's name, the more that we'll be able to become like him. In fact, one of the ancient philosophers, Socrates, he was saying, actually this was Aristotle, he was saying that one of the duties of a human being is to develop these qualities that are godlike, because the more that we become godlike, just like Chinchabeda Vegetatva, Krishna is the ocean of qualities, but we're part of that. We're part of that in a smaller quantity, but we're also made of Satchidananda. We're also made of that eternality, that bliss and that knowledge. And Socrates explained that as you become more godlike, then you're able to take on more responsibility for the state. So that's very much in line with Prabhupada's teachings, in the sense that as we ourselves become more godlike, as we ourselves become surrendered to Krishna, that we're able to create a different kind of society, our own society, and then, you know, the waves are able to go out. Just like, you know, kirtan is a big deal everywhere now, and yoga is a big deal, and vegan and vegetarian has become mainstream. So all of that is coming from Srila Prabhupada's potency. You know, all of that started to change when the pure devotee came to the planet. So as another idea of freedom, very connected with freedom, is the idea of peace. There's a verse that explains that one who is how does it go?
Nasti
buddhir yuktasya. Na cha yuktasya. Bhavana. Yes. That one who is, go ahead.
Asham pasak doshta.
Yeah, that one who is not in transcendental consciousness, he can either have controlled mind or steady intelligence. And what question of there is there of happiness without either of those? And there's no question of how can you have any peace without either of those things, without a controlled mind or steady intelligence, and without peace, there's no question of happiness. This idea of freedom is so tied in to being freed from the most, being freed from Ayatma Kari Bodha Kari Daivik, and to rise above Daiviyeshi Gunamayi Mamaya Dayayama Mayametam. Yeah, that this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome, but those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond it. Prabhupada said that the whole material ocean that is reduced to the hoofprint of a calf is very simple to cross as we surrender to the spiritual master. And another verse that Prabhupada actually calls the peace formula, Gokram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Saridam Sarvabhutanam Nyatramam Shantarichati, that sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all austerities and penances, knowing me as the supreme Lord of all planets and all demigods, and knowing me to be the beneficiary, the well-wisher of all living entities, they attain peace from the pangs of material misery. So that, those three things, that's the peace formula. So we understand that, you know, we're able to become peaceful, we're able to understand that being a Shuddhasattva, that being a Brahman, that allows us to understand that whatever happening to us, we need to be able to accept it. You know, it's like people usually think of freedom, it's like, especially a young person's thinking, oh yeah, you know, I just want to be free, I can't wait till I can get out of the authority of my parents and just be on my own, and I can do whatever I want to do. You know, I remember Radhe, you know, my son's girlfriend, saying that they were so anxious, you know, to be on their own, but that once they got on their own, they realized that, what's the question of freedom? You're still bound by so many things. And again, that real freedom comes from surrender to the spiritual master. So this is the idea of that kind of freedom. Actually, there was one, I really loved this conversation that Srila Prabhupada had with this French interviewer. I can get it up here, let's see. I think I can get it. It was amazing. Srila Prabhupada covered so much in this, so let me just read through it. Okay, it was titled The Slave Mentality. So, the interviewer says, to me, God means freedom. Srila Prabhupada said, yes. God means freedom provided you surrender to God. That is real freedom. Interviewer, but I may not accept your idea of God. I may want to worship God, or I may not want to worship God. That is my freedom, and that's the most important thing to me. Prabhupada. A child's freedom, for instance, is to live completely under the protection of his parents. Then he has freedom. Without their protection, he'll have no freedom, only suffering. If the child is very rebellious, he may think he doesn't need his parents. He wants to be free, but he is just a rascal. He does not really know what freedom is. Similarly, if you don't surrender to God, then you are misusing your freedom, and you'll lose your freedom. The Bhagavad Gita says, Vaidyesha Gunamayi, Manmaya Dharatyaya. Material nature is so strong that she will not allow you to get free. But Mam Eva Yepapajanche, if you surrender to Krishna instead of Krishna's Maya, then you become free. If you don't agree to accept the control of Krishna, you'll be forced by Krishna's material energy. So what is a self-called freedom? You have to surrender. Interviewer, but isn't that a rather stifling kind of slave mentality? Prabhupada, we want to become the slaves of Krishna, and you want so-called freedom, but you do not know that if you don't become a slave of Krishna, then you must become a slave of Maya. The nature of the soul is to be a slave. That is your natural position. And we can see this practically. If people are not slaves of this material nature, then why are they dying? You don't want to die, but you'll be forced to die. So how are you free? But because people are rascals, they don't understand this. They are imagining themselves free. Interviewer. But throughout history, people have fought valiantly for the freedom to enjoy life to the fullest, the pursuit of happiness. Actually, there was one place when I was researching where Roosevelt, he promised four freedoms to the people. The freedom of speech, and the freedom of want, the freedom from fear, and the freedom to express themselves. But it went on to say that he was unable to do that. He was unable to do that. He'd really tried, but it was impossible. Srila Prabhupada said that means that they're thinking that freedom means to become the servant of the senses. Our Krishna conscious philosophy teaches, don't become the servant of your senses. And people think, oh, but this is our freedom. They do not know that by trying to become free, they are becoming servants of their senses. Where is your freedom? To freely enjoy sense gratification means to become the servant of your senses. That's Maya's illusion. You are voluntarily accepting Maya's slave and thinking, now I'm free. This is illusion. Your senses are pulling you by the ear. Come here, do this, and you'll be happy. Just like a dog, as soon as his master pulls the leash, come on, come on, he has to follow. So, people are becoming just like dogs, and they're thinking, free. Because they are unintelligent rascals, they cannot understand what real freedom is. But we are teaching that real freedom comes when you surrender to God. Interview. But how can you surrender to something you don't know? You can't really know God. You can't even speak about him. Our position is that we do know God from God's explanation of himself. We don't try to speculate about God like you. We're not such rascals. I agree that I cannot know God, but in the Bhagavad Gita, God himself says, I am like this, and I accept it. That's all. That is my position. This is my full surrender to God. I may not know what he is, but when he says, I am like this, I accept it. I never say, I have understood God. How can I know God? I am limited, and God is limited. But he says, in the top pratam nanyat, there is no greater truth than me, and I accept this. You call it slave mentality, or whatever you like, but I accept the words of Krishna. Instead of endeavoring foolishly to know God by mental speculation, I submit to the statement of God that he is the Supreme Person. So which way is better? To speculate on God foolishly, or to accept the statements of God, which is better? Interviewer says, to accept the statements of God. So Prabhupada, just the most exemplary person in behavior and philosophy, he was able to explain this so nicely, even while calling him a rascal. Still, he was able to have him surrender in a certain way, that yes, it's better to accept the statements of God. So again, this is our duty to help others. There was another section where Srila Prabhupada was talking about Krishna and saying that Krishna is completely independent. He's completely independent, Swarup, although he's not completely free. And the reason Krishna is not completely free is because he is bound. He is bound by? He's bound by his divine love. And then he gives some examples. And the quintessential example is Mother Yashoda, of course, where she's trying to catch Krishna after him, you know, breaking the butter pot and strewing butter everywhere, giving to the monkeys. But she can't catch him, even though she's trying so hard. You know, she's trying to tie him up with the rope, and you know, it's always 2 inches too short, and she just keeps trying. She's, you know, her flowers are falling from her hair, and she's just getting so tired, she doesn't know what to do, and finally Krishna takes pity on her, and he allows to be tied up. So there's other examples, too, of Krishna's love this way, like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Dhritarashtra is chastising Bhishma and saying, you know, the Pandavas are winning, and this is your fault because you have a soft spot for the Pandavas, and you're not fighting as hard as you could fight because you love the Pandavas so much. So this was a real affront to Bhishma, who's a Kshatriya, and he said, you'll see, I'm going to fight so hard tomorrow, and the only thing that's going to stop me is if Krishna intervenes. So Bhishma was out there in the battlefield, and he was fighting so hard that, and this is another aspect of Krishna surrendering his devotees, that Krishna became the charioteer. He became Arjuna's charioteer. So he's driving the chariot for Arjuna, and he's watching Bhishma. He's like, oh my goodness. I was almost saying, oh my God, but Krishna is a god. So you know, Krishna's watching this and thinking, Bhishma, he is going to cause Arjuna to fall. And that way, he's going to cause the Pandavas to lose. So even though he'd taken a vow not to take up any weapon, he jumps off his chariot, he looks around, he sees the chariot wheel, he grabs it, he starts running after Bhishma and saying, you rascal, you know, you are a minister, and you should have been set, a minister's job is to set the king on the right track, and you didn't do enough to put him on the right track. So because of that, and Bhishma immediately dropped his weapons. He was in ecstasy because this is exactly what he wanted. You know, he wanted to be healed by Krishna. So, so many instances like this of Krishna and his love. Another time on the battlefield when Krishna was fighting with Jarasandha, he had already been fighting, you know, 16 times and it defeated him. Still, Jarasandha wasn't giving up because he was getting bad advice from his minister, so he's there and he's fighting, and Krishna all of a sudden realizes he has to leave, you know, he has to leave because Rukmini had sent him a letter and saying that she was about to get married to Shishupal, but she'd already given her heart to Krishna and he had to come and rescue her. So he also didn't want to see any more bloodshed, it explains. He was tired of all the fighting and all the wars, so He left the battlefield, and he's called Ranchoa Roy. And there's a deity in South India, in other places too probably, but they instead of calling him a coward because he left the battlefield, which is generally what they call anyone who leaves a battlefield, Krishna is seen as being in an exalted position, that he would leave the battlefield, not caring what anybody says about him. He's the Supreme President of God. He's completely surrised, independent. The only thing he's controlled by is he's controlled by the devotee's love. So he goes and he rescues Rukmini. He kidnaps her and he marries her. Also, there's the example of Prahlad, where his father, Hiranyakashipu, he's asking, you know, where did you get your power from? Did you get it here? Did you get it there? He points to the pillar and Prahlad says, yes, yes, Father, you know, Krishna's there. So Krishna doesn't ever want his devotee's word to be false. So he had to come up with a form inside of that pillar that could destroy Hiranyakashipu and give pleasure to his devotees. So Krishna's always looking for ways to exalt and to praise his devotees, and because that's what he's controlled by. Is his devotee's love. And we saw it in Srila Prabhupada's life, even though Srila Prabhupada had to go through so much, you know, like having his Bhagavad Gita manual stolen, and, you know, being in the West, and having people disrespect him, And having to be around people that are taking drugs and all of that, Srila Prabhupada was so steady in his mission. And we see how Krishna blessed him a million times over by his success. So this is the example. This is our spiritual master of everyone. Also, it says that, you know, all the spiritual masters are all, no matter who they are, in our line, they're speaking the same message, the idea of surrender to the spiritual master, that will help us surrender to Krishna, that will give us the real freedom. As I was doing my research, I also came upon three incredible stories about Narada Muni. One of them was about, this was in, I think it was in England, I'm not totally sure. Anyway, Jamuna was playing the harmonium and having a great kirtan in an auditorium. And so it said Prabhupada led the first kirtan, then Prabhupada gave a lecture, then Jamuna was leading the second Hare Krishna kirtan, and right in the middle of her kirtan, Prabhupada said, love, and started singing, Bhajai Veena Narada Muni. And Jamuna was like stunned, like, what's going on? Prabhupada was singing so loudly. So she looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada motioned for her to just go ahead and continue singing. And she did, and Prabhupada kept on singing the song to Narada Muni. And Jamuna said it was so ecstatic that when she got done with her harmonium playing, that all the devotees and all the non-devotees in the room were running around the perimeter of the auditorium in ecstasy. She said even little Saraswati was like 2 feet off the ground. She said it was one of the moments of Krishna magic. And the next day, Jamuna asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, what happened? Like, we could all feel like something very special happened. What happened? And then Prabhupada said, didn't you see, you know, Narada Muni was here. So that was one time. And another time, this was a pastime that Dina Dhyadri was talking about. And again, they were in a kirtan, and it was in a very ecstatic kirtan. And again, the devotees asked Prabhupada, why were you laughing? You were laughing so hard during this kirtan. And Prabhupada said, well, I was laughing at Narada Muni. And the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, why were you laughing at Narada Muni? Like, what was Narada Muni doing? And Prabhupada said, well, Narada Muni was laughing. He was laughing because all the chandalas and all the mlechas, they're all dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. And like so excited, you know. And then actually Prabhupada said that they should put, this was definitely in England, they should put an asana on the altar, especially for Narada Muni, because Narada Muni was coming so frequently to attend the kirtans. I remember once, not many people came to the kirtan, and the devotees were, you know, they arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada, and they were disappointed that that nobody came. Hardly, just a few people, and Prabhupada, you know, they were apologizing to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I'm sorry, not many people came. Don't you know that Srila Narada Muni came? So there's so many ways that we can be enlivened by these personalities and by Krishna. And knowing that, the only way it can be done, like it can't be done no matter how much knowledge we have, how many austerities and penances that we have performed, none of that can bind Krishna. The only way that we can attain it is by longing, is by this intense greed to attain this state of Krishna's love. And that is the only way that we can attain any kind of real freedom. So these are some of the things that I wanted to say about freedom and about Krishna and about what we can do to try to continue this tradition. Yesterday, we were sitting in our house and I saw a car drive up. I didn't know who it was, so I thought this person looked very puzzled, so I went out and I said, can I help you? She was with Amazon, and she had like a rainbow face mask, you know? So she had to take a picture of the package before she before she went on. So she was trying to take a picture. And so I said to her, are you interested in yoga? She said, oh, yeah. You know, so I had some books in my trunk, so I went and got Science of Civilization and the cookbook and Perfection of Yoga. So I asked her which one she wanted. Right away she said she wanted the Science of Self-Realization. So, you know, I gave it to her and just and felt really happy that I could do that. So there's so many opportunities that we can take, you know, chanting and just extending our, you know, our good nature. Like Srila Prabhupada was always such a gentleman. And this also attracted people to Prabhupada, is that his kindness. When he was walking down the beach, he would say good morning to people. He didn't feel like he had to say Hare Krishna to everybody. He was just being a gentleman, you know? So that's in our mind, to be very polite, to develop all these good qualities that people can recognize. And because I know for myself, before I joined Krishna consciousness, I had heard so many philosophies, and I was attracted to parts of different parts of all of them, but what really cemented my interest and commitment to Krishna consciousness was the devotees. You know, I love the devotees. I love the way that they were. I love how they extended themselves to me and how happy they were to see me. When I would come to the temple, I'd usually bring something like a bushel basket of apples or peaches, and they'd be hanging out the window going, here she comes, here she comes. She's bringing some offerings for the deity. So yes, that behavior, along with the philosophy, is just an unbeatable combination. So I'll stop here if anybody has any questions or comments or additions or subtractions. Happy to hear them. Hare Krishna.
Maybe you can speak something about freedom, and you've been talking about independence or freedom of choice, but specifically about as devotees who we are trying to surrender ourselves to Krishna, but the fact that we do have individuality. So what is the relationship between individuality and independence?
Okay, so we all have that individuality. We're not all one, and we all have certain desires. And I believe some of the past in class was commenting how oftentimes people were asked or forced to pick up a service that wasn't really their propensity. And in some cases, this wasn't a bad thing, because just like if there's a war, you have to garner everyone, you know, all the soldiers, even maybe people who aren't as qualified to go out in battle, but that's what they do. So again, Prabhupada, and in the beginning of the movement, we really needed everybody on the field. So everybody went out in Sankirtan, even those people that felt like it wasn't a propensity, it was very hard for them, they were shy, and they felt like, you know, they weren't able to do it. But also Prabhupada recommended that people do what they like to do for Krishna. That if they like to sew, then they can sew for Krishna. They like to cook, they can cook for Krishna. And of course, all of these things are incredible kirtan. I just heard that Ramadevi in Mayapur, Adikarta was over at our house, and he was saying that Ramadevi is getting ready to leave her body, and that she's such a wonderful devotee, and that she was such an expert seamstress that she was in charge of designing the outfits in Mayapur. So I was like really marveling at that, because those outfits are so incredible, and that the talent of this devotee so appreciated. So that we don't have to give that up, our own person. We don't have to think that there's one way to surrender. And there's only, actually somebody asked Prabhupada once, and they were looking for a certain answer. They asked, it was a book distributor, and he was asking Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And they were expecting Prabhupada to say, what pleases me the most is someone who distributes my books, which he did say that at different times. But at this time he said, what pleases me the most is someone who loves Krishna. So that's our barometer. Our barometer should be like our peacefulness, you know, are we engaging our service in a way that we feel peaceful? I mean, there's so many reasons not to be peaceful, but our service should bring us some amount of peace, and we should be able to help others in finding that place, that service. And of course, no matter who we are, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and that always brings us peace. That always brings us answers to our questions. Does that help?
Thank you. That was perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was thinking really, actually, before also, what you say is correct about what we all for the lakshana, that we need the greed, we need the intensity to become Krishna conscious, that we will actually
make
it
success.
We will make it success, not by how many sloka I know, how much I did. But then, that is correct. Rupa Goswami Pad says. But then another way to look at it also, that where is greed going to come from? It's not going to drop from the sky. It is going to drop from, it will come from the person who has hearing, chanting, keep on practicing, reciting verses, whatever. Otherwise, how the greed is going to show up? It's not going to drop from the sky, I don't think so. Nobody ever said that.
That's true. I mean, and all those things contribute to developing the greed. Of course, association, Krishna consciousness starts with Shraddha, starts with faith, and then Sadhusanga, right? And then,
because that sloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita, mm-hmm, is very strong point. The Prabhupada made that point on that sloka. Kalijuga dharma nama sankirtan Krishna shakti vina nayata pravartana. Unless one is empowered, he cannot become Krishna conscious. Or you can say empowerment causes perseverance. So in your case also, you are for decades you are practicing. Obviously you have some greed. Otherwise, how is possible 40, 50 years somebody is hanging around doing the same thing and going faster? Obviously some greed is there. Am I right or?
Yes, you're right.
Has to be, otherwise how is possible after 50 years you're still here?
Right.
And you are happy glorifying Krishna. Obviously greed is there. Maybe, I don't know what's the definition of greed otherwise. No, I understand the word, but what does the greed mean? I mean, you look at you.
It means intense desire. And of course,
I don't mean that.
I mean, it means intense desire, right? And that's what has brought us to where we are. Everything that we do, right? It brings us to, because of desires, what we want. So the more that we want Krishna's mercy, and the more that we endeavor to accept Krishna's mercy, and the more that we endeavor to give Krishna's mercy, those are the ways that we receive it. And that's the way, they say that just like the force of gravity would bring you down unless you're rocket propelled. It's very difficult to get away from the force of gravity. So it's also very difficult to get away from the force of mind unless we're propelled by the spiritual master and propelled by good association. So that's why Prabhupada set up the idea of having class every day. And it used to be class every evening. Of course, now, because people are so sheltering in place, actually there's class all day. I know at our house, we've got class on like all the time. We're putting it on, so it's so nice. So all of those things help us to, the more you hear, just like with class, I had such a hesitation to give class because for so many years I didn't give it. But one of the beauties of giving class is that you study so much to prepare for it, and it's so nectarian to study. It's like it's such a great pleasure to be able to study. And then I'm lucky to have Pushkar. I'm able to ask him questions. He can direct me if I don't understand something, or point out another scripture or book that will help. But it's always desire. Everything, you know, brings us. Just that, you know, why does one person come to Krishna consciousness and another person doesn't? Why does some person accept an impersonal philosophy as being their all in all? And Prabhupada says another place that if one doesn't have, and this is kind of corroborated by, not that we need Socrates and Plato and Aristotle to corroborate, but their idea too is that there had to be an ultimate goal. Prabhupada says it's a disturbance if you don't have an ultimate goal. So our ultimate goal is Prema Maharaja Kumana, that we want that pure love of God. And our intense greed, it shows up by we're not giving up. You know what I mean? We may not always feel just like Krishna didn't appear to Narada Muni the second time, but he did say to him, I will appear to you in the future, but you won't see me again in this life. So just like, you know, we saw Srila Prabhupada, we won't see him again, you know, in his Vapu form in this life, but it's enough to keep us going, and it's enough to keep everybody going, because fortunately there's so many videos, you know, there's the movie, you know, that Yadavar and Vishaka made, you know, so all of these, you know, the verse that says, you know, it takes one moment. You know, at one time I counted up all the moments in that movie. It was an astronomical number of moments in that movie. But, you know, and it's streaming freely and it's going everywhere. And, you know, the people who have even a pinch of desire are going to be exposed to that. And that's going to help them develop the greed, you know, some intense greed to be able to attain that supreme goal. Right?
Is longing and desire really the same or same line?
I think longing and desire are the same. And it's definitely, I think loyam, which means greed, is also connected with desire.
Because you mentioned that when he was longing now, that all I want to see like him.
Yeah.
But it's a similar.
But see, Krishna knows what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and Srila Prabhupada knew what to do. Like, the first time we thought Prabhupada was going to leave, devotees were like crying and they were like chanting all night and, you know, Krishna would probably leave because we're not ready, you know. You can't leave us yet. So Prabhupada stayed and he stayed longer. And Krishna, and sometimes, you know, the whole idea of like sometimes separation, even with the gopis and Krishna, right, it creates more longing. So Krishna knows the balance of what we need, you know, each of us personally. But what is the, you know, the verse in Shastra prayer is that even though you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, still you're my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So that's, you know, that's the beauty, right? That's the beauty. This is Divyanga Puru. It doesn't seem that Narada Muni did anything super spectacular as a young boy, yet he became the spiritual master of Vyas. How was this so? So yeah, it's true, but again, the beauty of Narada was that Shraddha, he had some faith, and you know, he had Sadhusanga, he had the association of these great sages, right? So that was enough to make him stick to the path. And of course, his measure of surrender was so great being a little boy. If somebody else, an adult, is in that situation, they may get a certain amount of mercy. But in this case, it was a young boy who was by himself, whose mother died, he went into the forest by himself. So I think that because of that, he received even more mercy. So, yeah. I mean, I didn't do anything super spectacular either. But somehow or other, we became disciples of Srila Prabhupada. How, I would say, ask the same question, how is this so? You know, how is this so? So Krishna is so kind, you know, to give his mercy according to the desire of the recipient. So it rains on everything and all the rocks and all everything, that, you know, the ground soaks it up, the rocks don't soak it up. So Narada Muni soaked it up. Anybody else want to say anything? Bhajagavindra, I can understand that non-devotees are under the control of the modes of nature, How does astrology factor in the devotee's free will? Seems we are two in our personal karmic bubble, and our only choice moment to moment is to choose to follow the guru and the path of devotional service. Freedom seems illusory. Thank you for the wonderful phone to test. Thank you, Pastor Govinda. So, yeah, we also, I mean, sometimes Prabhupada would say, like, I remember that, I think it was that Saul who had gone to an astrologer, he was wearing all this, you know, chakras that astrologer had given him, and somebody told Prabhupada, and then he went to see, I don't think his name, who was it that went to see the astrologer? Who was it that went to see the astrologer?
Shamsundar.
No, not Shamsundar.
Well, astrologer just showed up, I think, last night?
No. When Prabhupada was here, and they went to see Prabhupada. He comes here sometimes, and he always carries a book bag and distributes books. Anyway,
Vishal.
That's what I'm thinking of, Vishal. Yeah. So he went to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, I can kick out, you know, millions of round planets. So that is there, you know, that when we're connected with Krishna consciousness, we're not completely under the control of material nature. But I can speak from my own experience that sometimes it's very difficult. Like you can feel the most material nature kind of closing in on you. You know, you have an experience that seems that you can't transcend. It's just too hard. Like, you know, people who have lost children, or myself, you know, I'm leaving soon to go see my sister because she's dying. And it's so difficult, you know what I mean? That not to see everything transcendentally. So our only recourse really is that we still feel it. We still feel these modes of material nature. We still experience some of the suffering, but it's much reduced. And to the extent that we can take shelter by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, to the extent that we can lift it and we can experience some freedom. So I agree with you that it's difficult. That it's definitely difficult to be completely free. But by reading the stories of these great devotees, I just like, if somebody, if someone says something about you, someone insults you, it's so hurtful, you know? And you're like, why, you know? Especially, you know, devotees insulting other devotees and talking about them. And once Prabhupada said that somebody, they were talking about sannyasi who had left and got married, and you know, Prabhupada said, you made it so difficult for him to return by your gossip, you know? Actually, it was
Madhavisa.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, so we have to be careful. At the same time, once Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and there was a man in the audience that was heckling him, saying things to him, and afterwards Prabhupada said, I can understand that I offended this man in a past life. And so that's what's happening. So if we can see that we're in a situation of being purified. Someone was just saying that to me yesterday. Who was that? But the idea that we're constantly being purified. Everything that's happening to us. But at least we know where to go to take shelter. And the fact that we know where to go, that makes all the difference. And that's why we want to give people this information. We want to give these Prabhupada's books because it does make all the difference. And when they're experiencing intense suffering, they will know where to go. So, Hare Krishna.
I have more.
Thank you very much.
This is Mother Bhagavati. Thank you, Sukada Prabhu, for your contagious enthusiasm to share Krishna's love with others. This is from Mother Krishnapriya. Very inspiring class, thank you. Narad Muni's glories are so wonderful to always remember. Love the conversation of Srila Prabhupada with the reporter. What is the title?
The title, I think, is Slave Mentality. Tell her I'll send it to her.
She will.
And that way she can take a little bit of it and put it in the database and it'll just come up. But I'm pretty sure it's Slave. That was the title of it, Slave Mentality.
This is a funny question, but
think it's CWU. SDM. He said, I wonder if the pundit who allegedly claimed FDR failed at preserving the aspirational ideals of the four freedoms could have been Pushkar's father.
Roosevelt? All right.
One more.
I didn't get it. She will
know. Great class. Srila Prabhupada called the four rags as regulatory principle of freedom. Can you please elaborate?
Okay, so it's just that the activities, you know, the illicit sex Prabhupada says that is the most binding because it just connects us so much with our body and then our offspring. That's why, you know, some people who come with previous experience and they're born into the world, like Sukadeva Goswami, they immediately run away from, because they don't want, they know, they already know how binding it is. So that's illicit sex. And of course, intoxication that brings us down into the mode of tamas. So we're trying to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness and then to shoot a sattva. So, and of course, eating vegetarian food and eating prasadam. Prasadam, of course, this is one of the ways, in answer to another question, I meant to mention it, is that Narada Muni became so purified. He was eating the remnants of his great souls. There was one point when I was in Vrindavan, when Prabhupada was there, and Kishori asked me to help transfer the plates. So every day I would go, and I'd be transferring the plates, but before I could get any prasadam, the sannyasis would come and they would take it all. And I was like, okay, today that's not going to happen. Before I even started transferring, I got this spoon that had some remnants that showed Prabhupada on it. And I took it, I went outside, I paid my basins, I ate it, I washed up, I went back in, and I transferred the plates. But I got some Srila Prabhupada prasad. So that kind of, that is so purifying. So for us to be eating, you know, food that offered to Krishna, Mahaprasadam, all of that can elevate us. And of course, gambling, that is dangerous because basically people are trying to get, they're thinking they can get more than what's due to them. Like a Brahmin, he's satisfied with whatever Krishna gives him. He doesn't have to go do anything else because he understands that it's just going to come to him. Whatever he deserves. He doesn't have to go out and buy a lottery ticket because he knows that by getting a lottery ticket, he can't get any more than he's supposed to get. He can only get what's due him. So it's a little dangerous to think that somehow by our endeavors, then we can get more than we're supposed to get. That herbivore mentality is so attractive to be happy. Sudama was happy in his little hut, you know, that devotees who live simply, it's totally quality. You know, it doesn't matter if the devotee's poor, it doesn't matter if the devotee's a millionaire, they're equal in Krishna's eyes to the extent that they're serving him. And the devotee that has the most intense love for Krishna is the devotee that receives the most mercy from Krishna.
Very good.
All right, thank you so much.
Why does he have to mention me? What's the big deal?
I don't know. You put it on the chat.
Funny, then tell me what he said. I don't know.
Okay, well, I brought up Roosevelt, because Roosevelt said.
I heard that part.
Well, he said you should have been, maybe that Roosevelt.